no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this time, our first episode of 2018. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll hear first today from the Green Hornet in his episode from May 16th, 1944, titled Paroled for Revenge. After that, it's Gunsmoke and Home Surgery, their story from September 13th, 1952.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful Filipino valet, Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in a thrilling adventure, Paroled for Revenge. The Green Hornet strikes again. Much to the surprise of the prison officials, had been a model prisoner. 3 years had passed since he'd been sentenced. 3 years which had seemed a lifetime to the morose and silent gangster, whose docility had amazed the other inmates as well as the prison guards. But now Barker was reaping the reward for his good behavior, a parole. As the huge outer gate clanged shut behind him, and as he walked slowly toward a waiting car, his thoughts were not those of a man who was just regaining his freedom. He was thinking rather of revenge. Revenge against the man who'd been responsible for his conviction.
Hi, Lou. Lou, hurry up. We've been waiting for you.
Hello, Johnny. Glad to see you.
Come on. Come on, get in. Let's get away from this dump. It gives me the creeps. You remember Slugger, don't you, Lou?
Sure. Hiya, Slugger.
Glad to see you again, Lou. I'll bet you're aching to get out of sight of that stone pile. You know, being in stir ain't exactly my idea of a good vacation.
There ain't nothing to laugh at about it either.
Oh, well, gee, Lou, I didn't mean nothing by it. I just thought you'd be feeling good about getting out, that's all.
Forget it. Let's get going, Johnny.
Okay, Lou. Any plans, Lou?
Sure, I got plans. Not the kind you're thinking about.
Hey, maybe he means he's going straight from now on. Is that it, Lou?
Listen, Slugger. You have a way of slapping those lips of yours around a little too careless-like. Ain't no mood for any wisecracks.
Oh, take it easy, Lou. That's just his way. He don't mean nothing by
it. Yeah, maybe so, but I just don't like his way, say.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, you heard me, you lame brain half.
Please, God, I don't have to take that off you, you stirred
crap. Hey, I'll throw you right out of the car.
Hey, look out, you'll make me run off the road.
I ain't taking any more of this.
You're the one who's been left as a ditch wise guy.
For the love of Mike, you guys cut it out. Play off, do you hear?
Now let go of me, Johnny.
Hold it, hold it. Slugger didn't mean nothing. He's okay. Now lay off, Slugger. Lay off, you walk home, do you hear me?
Well, then tell that guy to lay off me with them names, she. I don't have to take nothing from nobody.
All right, come on, you two. Forget it. Lou, being in that place has made you kind of jumpy. You didn't used to be like that. Now, how about it? Shall we get going now?
Okay. I guess I am jumping at that.
What about you, Slugger?
Get going. If he don't bother me none, I lay off of him. After all, we're supposed to be going to work together.
Oh, swell. All right, we'll get on our way then.
I did a lot of thinking when I was stuck in the pen, Johnny. I'm thinking about just one thing I gotta do.
I guess I'm kind of dumb, Lou. I don't get what you're driving at. What were you thinking?
About getting the guy who threw the hooks into me and got my son up. That's what I'm gonna do. With the help of you guys, Johnny, I'm out to put the finger on that high society gent, the publisher of the Daily Sentinel, Mr. Britt Reed himself.
The following afternoon, Britt Reed, well-known man about town and young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was walking toward the Sentinel building when he met Michael Axford, his would-be bodyguard and self-appointed reporter.
Where have you been, Axford?
Just around the corner, Reed, to get a bit of copy for Casey.
I thought you were a reporter, not an errand boy for my secretary, Miss Case.
Sure, you wouldn't have me turn Casey down when she's dying for a sip of coffee, would you?
Well, since you put it that way, I guess...
Hey, down, Axford, down! Hey, heaven preserve!
Oh, that was a close shave.
Oh.
Hey, what's been there, guy, all right?
Axford, are you badly hurt?
Tell that for somebody. Home for an ambulance.
What's it all about?
Oh. Axford, speak to me.
I guess they got me, Reed. I'm done for. You've been good to me, Reed.
Tell me where you're wounded.
I can feel the warm blood trickling down my side, Reed. I guess
now,
it's
let me see. And we'll get you to a hospital right away. Lie still now. Axford, get up.
What? Get up.
Come on, get up, get up. You're not hurt. That's hot coffee you have all over you.
Coffee, is it? Sorry, B. I could have sworn I was bleeding to death. I guess I'm not hurt after all.
Of course you're not hurt.
Listen to them hyenas laughing. I suppose they're disappointed that they are.
Never mind that, extra. Come on, let's get inside. Those killers may be back. Maybe there's some way we can find out what this is all about. The sooner, the better.
A short time later, in the outer office of the Daily Sentinel, Axford was talking to Lenore Case, secretary to Britt Reed.
Can you, Casey, the bullets were flying over our heads like flies, that they were. And so close I could feel the breeze they made passing.
Is that so?
Sure it's so. Good thing neither one of us lost our minds. I was sure worried about Reed for a minute, that I was.
What did Mr. Reed mean when he told me that the coffee you were bringing back for me almost scared you to death, Axford?
Ah, that's just his way of kidding, Casey.
Yeah, I wonder. Say, what are you hanging around for now?
Reed told me to wait and take some copies writing. Maybe he'll make us out to be heroes.
Well, whatever he writes, I don't think it'll quite agree with what you just told me, Axford.
Oh, so you think I don't tell the truth, is that it, Casey?
I think you have a way of skimming around the truth without meaning to, Axford. And believe me, sometimes you skim pretty far away, too.
Here, Axford, get this downstairs to the city room right away. Tell Gunnigan to run this story as is. I don't want any changes in it, understand?
Sure, Reed. But
what, Axford?
Is that all you're going to say about what happened?
Yes, that's all. I want it the next edition. And I hope that story will have the effect I plan it to have on the men who tried to shoot us down a while ago.
Later that evening, Lou Barker was talking to Johnny and Slugger in a hideout room down in a poorer section of the city.
Yeah, you don't think worthwhile bothering about. You go and mess up a simple job like that. Now, where does that leave us, I'm asking you?
Oh, Lou, what are you beefing about? Just because there ain't no headlines in the paper, that don't go to say we didn't wing the dope.
No matter what, Lou, you gotta lay low now. The cops will be guarding that joke from now on since he's such a big shot.
That's funny. Even his own paper don't have no headline about it. Huh. Let me look at that paper again, Sergeant.
Yeah. There you are, Lou.
Sure a mystery to me where they ain't... Hey, wait a minute. Here's something. Here, look, down near the bottom of the front page.
Hey, where? Let's see.
Hey, what'd you say, Lou?
Look right there, see?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it says, publisher escapes gangster bullets.
What? Didn't we hit him at all?
Oh, shut up and let me finish, will you?
Yeah, go ahead, Lou. What more does it say?
It says, in discussing the incident, publisher Reed expressed the opinion that it was evidently a case of mistaken identity on the part of the would-be killers, saying that he knew of no reason why anyone should make an attempt on his life. Both Reed and Axford escaped without injury.
Well, what do you know? The dope thinks somebody was making a mistake.
Yeah, Lou. He got sense enough to figure somebody might really be after him.
So much the better. That gives us a chance to make another try. And I'm telling you both, the next time we won't fail to give that stiff-shirt Britt Reed what's really coming to him.
That night, Reed arrived at his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting.
It's very dangerous for you to go about alone, Mr. Britt. Maybe men make another attempt to kill you, perhaps.
I feel sure they will, Cato. The story in the Sentinel tonight was put there purposely to make them think I'll be off guard. I want them to make another try.
You mean you hope they shoot at you again? It may be next time they're more successful, Mr. Britt.
I don't think they'll use the same method, Cato. The only way to bring them out in the open is to lead them on. Until they're caught, I won't be safe, so I might as well clear the matter up in a hurry.
How you hope to lead them on?
Well, I'm going back to the Sentinel building tonight. No doubt they'll be watching for me, so I might as well show myself.
You have the police watching the Sentinel building?
No, Cato, that would scare them off. I hope to handle this alone, up to a certain point.
You don't think the Green Hornet be of use, Mr. Green?
Yes, but not at first. We'll take the Black Beauty out with a mask and the gas gun. You can drop me off in the vicinity of the Sentinel. I'll walk in the front door as Britt Reed. You can park in the alley across the way until I need you. When they see me as Britt Reed, they may show their hand, and then it'll be time enough for the Green Hornet to act. Come on, Cato.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment house itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Around the corner from the Sentinel building. What do we do now?
You stay here in the car. Johnny, you go across the street from the front of the building and watch from there. Keep back in the doorway.
Okay, Lou. What are you going
to
do?
You'll find out soon enough if that mug comes back to the Sentinel office anytime soon. If you hear me whistle, Sluggy, come around with the car and come quick. You get me?
Sure, I get it. Just wait here till you whistle.
Right, and keep the motor running, too. Come on, Johnny, I'm going around the corner with you.
I don't know what your plan is this time, Lou, but I hope it works.
Don't worry. If he comes there, it'll work all right. The dope won't know what he's walking into, and this time he won't get away either.
Leaving Cato in the Black Beauty, parked in an alley near the Central Building, Britt Reed walked openly toward the entrance of the building.
If I'm not mistaken, there's someone across the street in the shadow of that doorway. I'll step inside the lobby of the building and then do a little watching myself. It's dim in this lobby at night. I'll see now what that fellow across the way does. He can't see me watching him. Yeah, he's crossing over this way. If he comes in this door...
You'll do nothing, Big Shot.
What the... This'll hold you! That sucker, Lou. He sucked him right in the beam with that gun butt.
Yeah, he's out like a light. Now, come on, let's get him out of the car before that guard comes down on the elevator. This time, Britt Reed's really gonna get what's coming to him, and I don't mean maybe.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. Meantime, Cato sat in the Black Beauty, patiently waiting in the darkness of the alley. Suddenly, he was startled by hearing a shrill whistle out on the deserted street.
Oh, That sound like signal whistle. Come from out on the street. I go up the alley, take a look. Soon be able to see who makes whistling. Sedan pull away from in front of the central building. I see outside. They come past here. That's Mr. Brick there holding in the back seat. Must get to Black Beauty and follow. Something go wrong. Mr. Britt. Must find you before it's too late. I find you somehow. I get to you, Mr. Britt.
Street 4, please. Good night, Miss Case, Mr. Axford.
Good night, good night. Sure, you must have been, Casey. It's mighty nice of Michael Axford for to be dropping you off in a cab right at your door. That it is.
I'm a little afraid of this deal, Axford.
Wait a minute, Casey.
What's the matter? What are you looking at?
What's that lying to one side of the doorway?
It looks like a man's hat to me.
Sure, I guess that's what it is. I'll pick it up and... Hey, look here.
What?
This is Reed's hat, see?
Mr. Reed's hat? So it is. What on earth could it be doing lying there?
Casey... It's got spots of...
Yes, it has. Axford, something's happened to Mr. Reed. He's been hurt.
Look, there on the floor where the hat was lying.
What do you see?
This. Glory be.
It looks like a loose seal of some kind that somebody dropped there.
Casey, I've seen that before, and that's exactly what it is. Go phone the cops, tell Gunnigan, phone the Federal Bureau.
Axford, what is it? Tell me.
St. Patrick, help us now. Reed's been waylaid by the worst criminal in the city. That's the seal of the Green Harlot himself.
I follow Carr to this street, but not in sight now. Maybe one of cars parked on the street be same car. So sorry I not get close enough to read number. Must do something. I get out and look at cars on the street. Maybe somehow tell if I find right one. If not find the clue soon, perhaps it's too late to be of help. Must not be too late. Secret? Must not.
Wearing the mask he usually wore when riding with the Green Hornet, Cato moved quickly and silently from car to car along the dark, deserted street. After playing his flashlight over a sedan, which was parked near the corner, he was about to leave when something caught his eye.
Oh. I think I see something on outside of back door. Yes. Mr. Pritt smart. He leave clue for Cato. Seal of Green Hornet pressed on door of car. Good thing Mr. Pritt think to carry some in secret pocket of coat. First, must disconnect wire so car not start easy. Now. Now to look for other seals on doorway of some building nearby, perhaps. Gangsters not know they have wildcat by tail when they kidnap Mr. Britt. They may be discovered too late they are dealing with Green Hornet.
Meantime, in their hideout, Lou and his two henchmen were gloating over Britt Reed, who was tied hand and foot to a chair.
Take a good look, you guys. That's the big shot who got me sent up. Now it's my turn to do a little crowing.
Hey, the slicker ain't opened his trap since we took him. What's the matter? Is he deep and dumb?
No, only dumb, maybe.
Yeah, that's a sad. He mugger do a lot of yelling and squirming before I'm through with him. Maybe we won't hear him talk, but no one else will ever hear him talk again either.
Oh, why don't you get it over with, Lou, and let's get clear out of this book. You act like a dopey school kid gloating over that stuff,
sir. That's a trap. You will give the same as he's going to get you punched out.
Hey, Lou. Hey, they got an extra.
Hey, I'll get down and get one, Johnny.
All right, go ahead, but be careful. You ain't seen.
I'll be back in a minute.
Come on, Johnny. Let's leave this close mouth punk and go into the next room for a while.
Okay, Lou. But you better get rid of him soon.
Longer he waits, the more he'll worry. We'll be back, Big Shot. And when we do come back, that's when you pass out. For good.
Hey!
Yes, give me one of those papers, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
We are all fallen.
Let's see. Before I get back up, I'll take a look at this paper. Suffering catfish. Your sentence is offering 10 grand for the return of Britt Reed. Let's see. Anyone given information leading to it? Hey, just gives me an idea. So Luke called me a punch-drunk camp boxer, eh? Go into this pool room and do a little phoning right now. Give me cops headquarters, quick. We'll see who's the dummy around here when the cops pick up Lou and Johnny and I get the dough for turning over the...
Police headquarters!
Hey, I got a tip on where that lead guy's being hit at. If I collect the dough, I'll let you know where he is.
Sure. Where is he? What do you know about him? Who are you?
Don't bust the button, copper. Now, listen close. Come down to the corner of West Street and...
So that's... Hang on, phone, you sweetheart.
Sure, Lou.
I had a hunch about that extra, so I'll come down and see what you were up to.
Don't use that gun, Lou.
I ain't using it yet, not here. Now, come on, get moving back upstairs and be quick about it. You're going to find out, same as Reed, that nobody double-crosses Lou Barker and gets away with it.
Mr. Britt?
Hey, no. I know you'd get her sooner or later.
You're very smart. Leave clues for me to follow. Find seal on doorway below. Come up fire escape.
Those gangsters are in the next room. Get me loose, kiddo, quick. And don't cut the cords. Untie them.
I bring Hornet mask and gas gun. Also bring Green Hornet top coat and hat, Mr. Britt. Think maybe you need them.
Yes, I have a plan, kiddo. With that coat and hat on, they won't recognize my clothes when they see me as the Hornet.
But perhaps they recognize hearing you talk, maybe.
No, I haven't spoken a word since they waylaid me. They don't know the sound of Britt Reed's voice.
You're very smart, Mr. Reed. What do you do now?
You come out in the fire escape with me. I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. Lou Barker and his cronies are in for a big surprise.
It's late looking for a needle in the haystack, Ashford.
Drat the guy. If you'd only told me which corner on West Street.
I get the jitters just cruising along like this with Reed in the hands of that sneaking harness.
Well, what do you expect me to do? Run up and down West Street yelling, come out, wherever you are. Like a bunch of kids playing hide. Stop the car, Cassidy.
What's the matter, Sarge?
Look, moving along that fire escape.
Holy cow. It looks like the Green Harness himself.
Sure, and another guy with him. Come on.
Stooley was putting in a call to the car.
Holy smoke, Lou. We better blow out of here.
Calm down. I got to him in time. And this time I won't mess.
Sorry, killer. Hey, look, coming in that open window. The bear's guy.
That's the Green Hornet.
Right the first time, mastermind.
Hey, what do you want here? Coming in to horn in on getting a reward for that lead guy, huh?
No, chump, I don't share rewards with small-time crooks like you. I take all or none.
Well, I had a personal reason for bringing that jerk here, and you ain't going to interfere, see?
Hey, Lou, I don't like this. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea.
So help me, Johnny, if you go back on
my floor. No, Lou, take it easy. I'm with you.
Okay, then. I'm going to the next room and finish what I started, see? You and Slugger keep this overrated mutt from interfering. Out of my way, you.
You're not going anyplace.
Law, get him, Hornet. He ain't so hot. Get him.
Grab the Hornet, Johnny. Do something. Get
him. Take it, Law.
Johnny, he got gas. I can't breathe.
Hey, he got Lou. Help me, Slugger.
Why should I? The Hornet's on my side in this fight. Get him, Hornet.
Thanks. You can watch.
Hey, I give up. Don't. Not gas. No.
Nice work, Hornet.
You're next, Slugger. I don't deal with killers.
No, get...
Oh, police come. You don't need help with gangsters. Very good fight.
Thanks. Get out the window quick, Cato. Tie me up in the next room before the police find me. Come on, hurry.
Sure looks like a big fight was going on here.
Look at that, will you?
Three of them. All out for the count of 10. I wonder who did it to him, Sarge.
I ain't sure yet, but I do know this looks like the work of the Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet, eh? Then if he was here, Reed must be around here someplace. Reed! Reed!
Help! Help, in here!
Don't worry, B. It's him, all right. In that next room. Come on.
Reed, the saints be praised, you're safe.
Yes, just you got here just in time, actually.
Sure, you're a sight for sore eyes, Reed. That you are. I could stand here just and look at you all night.
Ashford, Do you think Mr. Reed likes to be all tied up like that while you stand around looking at him like a hen at a lost chick?
Yes, how about cutting these cords, Axel?
Well, that I will, Reed, that I will. I'd have you free in a jiffy. There.
Oh, thanks, Axel. That's much better. Well, by the way, Sergeant Burke, those three rough-looking men, did you catch them?
That we did, Reed. Every last one of them.
Good. They're all killers, and we're planning to take my life.
Well, now, Reed, don't go worrying. We're here to see that nothing happens to you.
Yeah. And we're sorry to tell you, Mr. Reed, but the worst of the lot got away. He and those three out there must have had a falling out about something.
Sergeant, referring to the Green Harlot, Reed. And as sorry I am we didn't get here in time to face down that spalpeen. That I am.
I assure you, Axford, he's a mean one to face.
Maybe you were a little bit scared by him, but if I'd have been in your shoes, Reed, I'd have turned the tables on him somehow and brought him in alive. That I would. My one ambition is to take that harlot by the arm and lead him into the central office to collect that reward.
Take my arm, Axford, and help me up. I'm still a little shaky.
Oh, sure. There you are. You're sure lucky to have the likes of Michael Axford around to get you out of the clutches of that sneaking jackanapes, the Green Harlots.
The territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
They told us a man we'd been looking for, a murderer, was in a cow camp on the North Fork of the Canadian River, about 100 miles south of Dodge. So Chester and I rode down to take a look. We found a fellow there with a right name but the wrong face. So we started back. First night we camped in a dry, buffalo-rutted depression. The next morning I woke shortly after daybreak to find Chester already cooking breakfast.
Morning, Mr. Dillon. Meat'll be done soon.
The coffee made, Chester. That's what I need.
It's boiling. I didn't make much, though. I thought I'd better save our water.
You know, Chester, I'll bet right now the doc's back there in St. Louis holed up in some fancy hotel and still asleep.
That's quite a thought, sir.
Yeah.
Him right in the middle of St. Louis and us way out here on the prairie.
I'll bet he's even got sheets on his bed.
I wouldn't be surprised, Mr. Dillon. Doc said this was one vacation he was going to splurge on. He's riding the Santa Fe both ways.
Huh?
Well, meat's done. I cleaned off this rock here to cut it on.
Oh, good. Well, you got it warm anyway.
Well, now, meat shouldn't be overcooked, Mr. Dillon. That takes a taste clean out of it.
Now, then we ought to be able to taste everything about this steer. Eggman's disappointment.
How's that, Mr. Dillon?
Never mind, Chester. How come you woke up so early this morning?
Oh, I always do. Seems as soon as it gets daylight, my feet start to sweat, and then I just got to get up.
Well, that's as good a reason as any, I guess.
Well, looks like we got company, Chester.
What?
Oh.
Where?
Right out there, heading straight for us.
Oh, yeah. Some cowboy, probably.
I don't know. He doesn't ride quite like a cowboy.
Why, it's just a kid, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, it sure is.
Sure needs a haircut. What? Say, Mr. Dillon, it's a girl.
What could she be doing out here?
I'm carrying a rifle, too.
Well, get on, miss, and have some coffee.
Who are you, mister?
Hi, this is Chester Proudfoot, and I'm Matt Dillon.
How do you do?
You rustlers or what?
Not exactly. I'm the U.S. Marshal out of Dodge, ma'am.
U.S. Marshal? Oh, that's good.
It is? Why?
I need help, Mr. Marshal. My daddy's awful sick.
Sick? Well, where is your daddy?
We got a homestead about a mile over that rise back there.
Oh, what's he sick with?
It's his leg, Mr. Marshal. A horse threw him and his saddle both in the corral, and then it stepped on his foot. Now his whole leg's all funny. He's got a fever, too.
Mr. Dillon, that sounds like...
Yeah, I know, Chester. Tell me, miss, when the horse stepped on him, did it cut his foot, break the skin anywhere?
Just a scratch. Tore his boot off, though.
Oh.
Please, Mr. Marshall, please come see him. I'm scared, the way his leg is and everything.
Well, sure we'll come. Your mother with him now?
I don't have a mother, Mr. Marshall.
Oh. Well, then, what are you doing out here if your daddy's sick?
We ran out of meat about 3 days ago, and I don't have anything to feed him.
Oh. All right. Chester, I'll ride back with the... what is your name, anyway?
Tara Hantry.
Oh.
I'll be 16 next January.
Well, that's fine. We'll go back to the Hantry place, Chester. You scout around for some meat.
All right, sir.
And if you don't find any antelope, shoot the first calf you see. Anybody's calf.
I'll do it, Mr. Dillon.
He's in the sleeping room, Mr. Marshall.
No.
Daddy. Daddy, I found a man, and he's going to help us. And, Daddy, he's a marshal, a U.S. marshal.
Matt Dillon, Mr. Hendry. How are you feeling?
Dillon? I've heard of you. You're from Dodge, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, Marshal, I ain't feeling so good. My foot don't hurt no more, but it and my leg is all sort of, well, it ain't pretty.
I don't know much about these things, but maybe I better take a look at it anyway, huh?
Sure, Marshal. There she is.
All right, you can cover it up.
I was in the war, Marshal. I know what gangrene is. Guess you do, too, huh?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, a friend of mine is out getting you some meat, and then we'll load you in your wagon.
Well, Ben took the wagon.
What?
Ben Warling. He took the wagon when Daddy got hurt. Said he'd find a doctor and bring him back.
Well, who's Ben Warling?
Oh, he's been sort of working here, Mr. Marshall.
I should have run him off long ago. That's what.
Well, where is he? What'd he take the wagon for? Where's he going to find a doctor around here anyway?
Closest doctors in Dodge I know of.
Yeah, and he's in St. Louis, and he won't be back for a couple of weeks.
I couldn't get to him anyway.
Well, tell me, when did this happen?
About 6 days ago, Mr. Marshall.
Uh-huh.
Ben left the day after.
Well, you think he's coming back? Did he steal the wagon or what?
He comes back here and me not able to get around. I don't know what I'll do. I ought to take a bullwhip to
now,
him.
Now, take it easy, Mr. Hand.
Bullwhip.
Take it. He won't cause any trouble, so don't you get all worked up. Tara, we'll let him get some rest, huh?
All right.
We'll have some food for you soon, Mr. Hantry.
I ain't very hungry.
Tara, what's he so riled up about this Ben Walling for? What's between them?
Oh, it's nothing, Mr. Marshall. Daddy's sick and... that's all.
Look, Tara, you asked me to help you, didn't you?
Yes, but
You trust me, don't you?
All right, Mr. Marshall. Daddy hates Ben because Ben... Well, Ben likes me.
Oh, I see.
He even wanted to marry me. Said he would.
How do you feel about Ben, Terry? You like him?
No. Of course, it's time I had a man and all that, but... I'm afraid of Ben, Mr. Marshall. It's like there's something wrong with him. He's always sneaking around when you don't expect him. Makes me uneasy, like...
Well, we won't worry about Ben now. You stay here in case your daddy wants anything. I'll go outside and wait for Chester.
Mr. Marshall. I'm awful glad you're here.
We'll see it through, Tara. Don't you worry.
I won't. Now.
I went outside and walked over to the small corral that stood nearby. There I rolled a smoke and looked out across the flat distances of the prairie. And I wondered how anyone could survive in all that emptiness. Hantry, lying on his bed back there in the house. He wouldn't survive. The prairie got to him, all right. And its vast loneliness had put him out of reach of any help. And Tara, what could she do out here in this endless land of grass? I was glad to get my mind off it when Chester rode in with an antelope across his saddle. We hung it on the corral, dressed it, took a hind quarter into Tara, and we went back outside and sat down.
Yes, sir. She's a plucky girl, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, fine girl, Chester.
Yeah, but this Ben fella, I just don't understand his going off with the wagon like that.
Well, it doesn't matter much now. Entry won't last more than a day or two, anyway.
It's that bad, is it?
Yeah, blood poisoning, Chester. As soon as it reaches his heart, he's done for.
Well, isn't there any way to stop it?
Yeah, sure. Cut his leg off.
Oh. Too bad Doc isn't here.
Yeah.
Would that stop it, Mr. Dillon? Cutting his leg off of me?
I don't know, Chester. I don't know. Maybe too late anyway.
I sure wish we could do something for him. I don't take to just sitting around and waiting for a man to die.
Well, nobody does.
It isn't right somehow, that poor fella and Tara. Why, Mr. Dillon, that girl will go crazy out here all alone.
All right, Chester, what do you want me to do about it? I'm not a doctor. Now shut up.
Well, I... Mr. Dillon, you could do it. I know you could.
Do what?
Be a doctor. Long enough to save Mr. Hantry's life,
anyway. Are you out of your head?
No, sir.
Then what are you talking like that for? The most I ever did was doctor a horse for the colic. That's fine training for this, isn't it?
I know. I couldn't do it. I just plain don't have the spirit. But you do.
Oh, why didn't I leave you back in Dodge?
It wouldn't have mattered anyway, Mr. Dillon, because you would never just stand by and let a man die.
Let's go talk to him, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Daddy's fever's worse, Mr. Marshall. I'm going to get some more water.
Yeah. How do you feel, Mr. Hendry?
I don't feel much, Marshall. Outside of burning up. I've been trying to tell Tara I just can't last long with blood poisoning. She's just got to figure on it.
Well, that's what I came to talk to you about. I guess you know the only thing that'll give you a chance.
I know. I've been thinking about it. But I couldn't ask any man to do that.
You didn't ask me. Well, it's up to you, Mr. Hantry. I'll try it if you're willing. Only thing is, I won't know much about what I'm doing.
I seen it done in the Union Army, Marshal. I could tell you some things.
All right.
The only thing is, Marshal, I don't know I'd be much use around here with one leg.
Well, You'll have to decide that for yourself.
I know.
You could move to town, Mr. Hendry, you and Tara.
That's it, Tara. If it was just me, I wouldn't do it, but I can't leave Tara alone. Now, if I can help it, I can't. All right, Marshal. Let's do it.
You're a brave man.
No, Marshal. I just don't have any choice. Come on. Let's get it over with.
You got any liquor in the house?
There's a jug of corn out in the kitchen.
Get it, Chester. You can start drinking it while we're getting everything else ready.
Tell Tara to start boiling a lot of water.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her in a few minutes.
I'll be right back.
Now, I want you to tell me everything that you know about this, Mr. Hendry.
First, I'll tell you what you'll need.
Mm-hmm.
There's a straight iron out by the corral somewhere.
Yeah.
You can heat it in the main room fireplace.
Right. Now, what else?
Tara will find some cloth for bandages. And the rest of the stuff you can get in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
The only thing worrying me is, what'll we use to tie off the arteries with? Plain thread won't hold.
Maybe some thin strips of rawhide.
No, they'd soak through. You got to have something.
I know. At least I think it'll work. What about horse hair?
Oh, that's it, Marshal. Pull it off the tail.
It'll
work fine.
Here's the jug, Mr. Hendry, and I brought you a cup, too.
Pour me some. I want to get good and drunk.
Here you are, Mr. Hendry.
Sir. You know, I ain't been drunk in the daytime since we got the news about President Lincoln in the spring of 65.
You better have your talk with Tara before that takes hold.
Ask her to come in, will you?
Come on, Chester, we got work to do.
Yes, sir. Good luck, Mr. Hendry.
Thanks. Well, Marshal?
Yeah?
Marshal, I'll try to make it easy for you.
Yeah, sure. Shortly after noon, I operated. Whether it was the corn whiskey or his own hard courage, I don't know, but Hendry never whimpered. Chester stood outside the door and brought me whatever I needed. Tara waited in the kitchen, boiling more water and thinking her own thoughts. Maybe it was harder on her than any of us. Toward the end, Hendry mercifully passed out. When I'd finally finished bandaging him, I was kind of faint myself. I'd done everything I could. I just hoped I'd done it right.
How is he, Mr. Dillon?
You'll have to clean up in there, Chester. I've got to get outside for some air.
Yes, sir. I'll do it.
And put that fire out. It's hot enough around here.
I don't know how you did it, Mr. Dillon.
Tara? Tara, will you come on outside for a while?
Daddy, all right? Is he all right, Mr. Marshall?
It's all over, Tara. We'll just have to wait and see now. There now, Tara. He's all right.
I'm sorry. But it took so long. I thought you'd never finish.
He didn't feel much, Tara. The corn liquor worked fine. Fine.
Will he get well now?
Well, I hope so, Tara. I hope so.
Mr. Marshall, are you going to wait and see?
Oh, now, Tara, you don't have to worry about that, Chester. And I'll be here as long as you need us.
I just wanted to be sure. Can I go see Daddy now?
Well,
As soon as Chester comes out here, then you can.
All right. I'll wait, Mr. Marshall.
It beats me, Mr. Dillon, how he can just lay there so quiet and peaceful.
It's only been 4 or 5 hours, Chester. The liquor hasn't worn off yet.
He drank nearly the whole jug.
Well, he needed it.
Say, Mr. Dillon, look yonder.
Huh?
Somebody coming with a wagon.
Oh, yeah. It's probably that Ben Walling they were talking about.
I'll bet that's who it is, all right. Wonder what he'll have to say for himself.
Ah, you'll think of something, Chester. His kind always do. You recognize him?
No, sir. Do you?
No, I never saw him before.
Hello. What are you doing here?
You've been Walling.
How'd you know?
The hand trees, they've been wondering about you.
Oh, yeah, sure. How's old hand tree, anyway?
He's all right.
He is, huh?
You've been gone a long time, Ben. Where were you?
I don't know you, mister, but you sure ask a lot of questions.
You can answer them one at a time. Now, where were you?
Who are you anyway, mister?
I'm a U.S. Marshal.
Ain't no U.S. Marshals around here.
There is now. Generally, I'm in Dodge.
Your name Dillon?
It is.
What are you doing here, Marshal?
Tara ran into us, asked us to help. Seems the only able-bodied man around here took off in a wagon.
I went to fetch a doctor. Anything wrong in that?
Not at all. Where is he?
Well, first night the horses ran away, and I've been chasing him ever since. I didn't catch him till this morning. And then I've been gone so long, I thought I better get back to you right away. I was worried about Tara and old Hantry, of course.
I see. Well, you better get your horses unhitched, Ben. You can see Tara later. She's in with her father now.
Gonna be all right, huh? I was kind of worried about that foot. Looked to me like it might have poison in it.
It did.
What do you mean it did?
I took his leg off about noon today.
You what?
Mr. Dillon did it all by himself, just like a regular doctor.
Well, but how'd you know what to do? You might have killed him.
Somebody had to do it, Ben. It's a sure thing Tara couldn't.
You're blaming me, ain't you? Well, I did everything I could. Didn't my fault those blasted horses run off?
Antre's pretty sick, Ben. I wouldn't bother him for a day or two if I were you.
Oh, I won't bother you. Oh, now look, Marshal. You can leave now. I'll handle everything here.
We'll leave. As soon as Hantree's able to take care of himself again.
All right, stay as long as you like. I don't care.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
I think that Ben is a no-good liar.
You're right on both counts, Chester. And I'll tell you something else. You see that saddle over there?
Well, that belongs to Mr. Hantree.
Yeah, I know. I looked at it this noon. Somebody cut the cinch strap on it.
Cut the cinch strap?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder that bronc bucked him and the saddle off both.
Well, do you think Tara did it?
Oh, my goodness gracious, no, Mr. Dillon. Tara'd never do a thing like that to her own... It was Ben, wasn't it?
That'd be my guess. He figured the old man would get hurt, maybe killed.
Why, sir?
So he'd have a free hand with Tara.
Why, that low down... Mr. Dillon, let me arrest him.
Not yet, Chester. There's plenty of time.
All right, sir. I'll wait.
Wasn't as much time as I figured. Hantree had a bad night, and by morning he was so weak he couldn't lift his head. I tried to take his pulse, but I could hardly find it. Maybe I'd operated too late. Maybe the poison had already moved up into his body. I didn't know. I had no way of knowing. So there was nothing to do now but wait.
Want some more coffee, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, thank you, Chester. We'll fill it up, huh?
Tara won't eat anything at all, sir. She just sat there by his bed, hasn't slept a wink I know of.
Well, it's her father, Chester. He's all she's got.
I never thought much about it before, Mr. Dillon, but seeing Tara, I kind of wish I had a daughter.
You'd have to change your profession if you were going to take care of a daughter, Chester.
Why,
I don't have any profession, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, Mr. Marshall.
Yeah, what is it, Tara?
Please, please come. Daddy wants you. I think he's...
You better come too, Chester.
Yes, sir.
It's Matt Dillon, Mr. Hantry. Can you hear me?
Marshall? I can't hold out no more.
Now, don't say that. Keep fighting, man. You'll pull through.
No, Marshall. I'm gonna die.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy.
Tara. It's about Tara, Marshall. Don't leave her here. Ben Walling. He's no good. He'll try to keep her.
Now, don't you worry about Ben Walling, Mr. Hansry. I promise you he won't get anywhere near Tara. Now or ever.
Thanks, Marshall. He's a bad one. Tara can't stay here alone. She can't work this place. It's a bad way to die. Not no.
Now, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me now.
Yeah?
I promise you something else, too. I'll take care of Tara. I'll see she's all right. I'll see she's cared for. Now, I promise that.
I thank you, Marshal. I sure. Where's Tara?
Daddy. I'm right here. Daddy.
Tara.
Come on, Chester.
Daddy. Daddy.
Mr. Dillon, I don't think they'd have made out on this place anyway.
Why not, Chester?
Well, there just isn't enough water. That one little old spring is all I've got.
Well, if they had a lake, it'd still be too much for Tara.
What are we going to do with her, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. We'll have to think of something, though.
My, I wish she'd come out of that house. I don't like it, her in there breaking her heart.
Give her a little time, Chester. She'll be all right.
Don't you move her finger, either one of you.
Well...
Well, you're mighty careless with that rifle, Ben.
Don't get smart with me, Marshal. I know what I'm doing.
And what would that be?
I heard you in there. Heard you promise to take Tara away. I was right by the window. I heard it all.
You got a curious way of courting a girl, Ben, trying to kill her father.
Yeah, and I saw you yesterday looking at that saddle, but I didn't kill him, Marshal. You did.
That's a lie, Ben Walling, and
well,
you know it.
Up.
I won't shut up. If we'd have just got here sooner, Mr. Dillon would have saved him, that's all.
Well, too bad you got here at all. Because you're going to die for it. Both of you.
Put the gun down, Ben. You're under arrest for attempted murder.
You stay right where you are, Marshal.
You know, I have an idea you've smelled powder before, Ben, and that you're afraid of it.
Marshal?
I have an idea that's why you tried to get Hantry like you did instead of facing it.
Stop, sir.
And right now you wish you didn't have that rifle at all, don't you, Ben? Because I might have to shoot you for it, huh?
No, don't, Marshal.
Give me that.
You all right, Mr. Dillon?
He didn't even try, Chester. Rifle went off when I knocked it aside. That's all, he was scared to death.
Well, I didn't feel exactly comfortable.
Well, tie him up and keep an eye on him. I'll go see Tara.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Late that evening, we buried Hantry out on the prairie, out in back of the little homestead. They would die now, too, and fall apart without him. The next morning, we loaded everything we could get into the wagon. With Tara beside me, we started out for Dodge. Ben Wallen never said a word. Chester led his horse, and they rode along ahead of us. I had plenty of time to tell Tara all about Dodge and how there were some good people there and how we'd find her a home and family. She sat there, tight-lipped. She didn't say much. But she never once looked back.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Sammy Hill, and Larry Dobkin. Parley Bear is Chester. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. In case you didn't know, Jack Benny and his gang begin their new season tomorrow night. Jack, Mary, Don, Dennis, and Rochester welcome a new member to the team, the head man of CBS Radio's Club 15 show, Bob Crosby. Roy Rowan speaking. Remember, the top dramatic show of them all, the Lux Radio Theater, is heard Monday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
The Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from the Green Hornet, Gunsmoke, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you like this and all the shows would like to help support it. Click on that. Thanks as always to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.